And we turn in our Bibles now. We look at God's inerrant, infallible Word, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is laying out for us the kingdom lifestyle, the way that disciples of Jesus Christ ought to live. This is the basic message of discipleship that we find in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 18 of chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus is shifting gears here. He's talking about how we do good. That is, we do good things. It's a necessary thing. The righteousness that he talked about in chapter 5, verse 19, this righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, that doesn't get hung up in the legalities and loopholes that were common in Jesus' day and are still common in our day. This righteousness that starts from the inside and works its way out is something that starts in the inside, but it doesn't stay in the inside. It comes out. You know, there's no such thing as invisible honor. There's no such thing as invisible love. Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and you know, it means something when people take the time and the effort to go out and put the little flags on the graves or attend a little ceremony like I know there's going to be at Parkway tomorrow or in a thousand other places. That's showing honor and showing respect. It's something that's visible. It means something. We can't we can't be like the husband who heard his wife complain, "Well, you never tell me that you love me." And of course he says, "Well, I told you 37 years ago, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know." That's not loving somebody, is it? Now, you got to tell that bride every day, some way or other, that you love her, because love is not invisible. The righteousness that is the surpassing righteousness works from the inside out. In fact, guess what it does? It makes us deny ourselves. Jesus talks about three external acts of honor and righteousness that are all forms of self-denial. He talks about giving. You're passing money along that you could have used for yourself for some other purpose. He's talking about praying, in which you sacrifice time and you sacrifice that sense of your own sufficiency and dependence. And you say, "Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And also he talks about fasting, denying yourself. Denying yourself even some basics of life to seek the Lord's face. But he says, now, here's what's interesting. He says, I want you to pray, I want you to give, I want you to fast, but he says, here's how I want you to do it. Let's listen. He does this by telling us there's a danger in doing good. That's the first big point. And really, the second thing we'll look at is the fix. The thing that helps us steer clear of this danger. What is the danger in doing good? He mentions it in verse 2 and in verse 5 and in verse 16. He says, look, notice how people give. Don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues do, as they do in the streets, that they may be praised by others. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. He says in verse 16, when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. So he's warning us about being a hypocrite in each one of those. But maybe, have you ever wondered this? Have you ever thought this? You said, well, why does Jesus call those people hypocrites? I thought hypocrite was putting on a mask or something. I mean, the hypocrite's giving. It's obvious that he's giving. Wouldn't that encourage other people to give? What about praying? I mean, he's praying. Praying in the synagogue. Praying in a public setting. You know, blessing the green beans at a banquet or something. He's praying. That's good, right? What's hypocritical about that? Or, I mean, he's actually praying. He's not saying that he prays and then he doesn't pray. What about fasting? Could encourage so many people to join you in the fast if you made it obvious that you were fasting. What's the hypocrisy? Would it not be hypocrisy with fasting to do what Jesus says? Why isn't it hypocrisy to fast, but then, you know, do your hair and do your face and do your clothes just like you would any other day and nobody sees it? Isn't that being fake? Isn't the definition of hypocrisy trying to look different on the outside than you are on the inside? You know, hey, if you're going to fast, look like you're fasting. If you're going to pray, make sure as many people as possible hear it. Jesus calls those people hypocrites. And here's why. Here's the big danger. Because the heart that motivates that kind of ostentatious giving, public, ostentatious praying, obvious fasting, is supposed to give evidence of a heart for God. That's what these things are about. A heart hunger for God, a desire to be like my Father in heaven who gives and is generous and promiscuous in his generosity. For me to pray and say, I am dependent, I need thee every hour, O God. But he says, the heart that motivates the hypocrites is not that kind of heart. It's a heart for human admiration. All these things that ought to be evidences of a hunger for God show themselves really in the hypocrite to be a hunger for the approval and esteem of other people. Human admiration. So they're being open and transparent about what they're doing, but they're being very deceptive about what it is that they're seeking. If they wanted to be really open, they would wear a sign about their necks that says, the bottom line reward in my fasting is the praise of you. The praise that comes from you. Then, Jesus says, those people would not be hypocrites. They would be openly transparent and they would be openly vain. So he's saying that there are two dangers that these hypocritical givers and hypocritical prayers and hypocritical fasters have fallen into. One, he says, they're seeking the wrong reward. Did you notice how he said? He said, look, don't be like these people. They love to put on the show what they're doing. And guess what? Congratulations. You got your reward. I hope you brought a sandwich with you. Jesus is so good at sarcasm, isn't he? Oh, good, you did that. They have their reward. Congratulations. you did it, other people saw it. They love the praise of men. They're seeking the wrong reward in giving, in praying, and in fasting. The other danger is this. They hide this with a cloak of pretending to love God supremely. That's something that's truly ugly about it as well and dangerous. These three things, fasting, giving, praying, and again, I think he's just choosing those as three examples. I mean, I think we're right to extend that out to most anything that we're doing. You could include Bible reading or going on mission trips, whatever, you know, you come to mind, singing, preaching, whatever. You can plug in there. The same principle applies. That show that we care about God, but on the inside, he says, no, these hypocrites, they're hungry to be admired and approved by other people. That is the God that they're really serving. That is the God that really satisfies them. Now that ought to get our attention. Be careful when you do good. Be careful so that you don't make a performance out of it, something to be seen and approved by other people. It might be good theater, but guess what? Your Father in heaven, Jesus says, he's not applauding. The hypocrite gets his applause, his pat on the back, but that is all he's going to get. It's paid in full. But Jesus says, think about your giving. Rather than the trumpet blast and making it obvious that you're giving to the needy, pretending to give but really intending to receive, he says, what if you gave in a way that it was not obvious to other people who gave the gift? What if you gave to a needy person and they had no idea where it came from? That's what he means, this sort of both an ease and almost I love that picture he puts in mind. Don't let, you know, one hand know what the other hand's doing. I mean, just do it and move on. No need for a press release. No need for all the statistics. He says, what if you just gave secretly so that your Father in heaven who sees in secret, he sees, he rewards. I remember thinking about this passage a number of years ago. I was in a chapel service, and there was a prominent Christian leader who was the guest speaker in the chapel service, and someone was introducing him. And the person introducing him violated what I think is the basic principle of introducing a speaker in any setting, whether in a church or in a civic club or anywhere else. I think the good principle to keep in mind is the more important a person is, the shorter the introduction needs to be. I mean, if the President of the United States is here, what do I have to say other than, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States? And the music starts out and he comes in. You know, but if I'm introducing somebody you don't know and I need to establish credentials, I've got to go on and on and on about, well, here's where he went to school and this is what he did and this is what he did from 1992 to 1993. And you can, you know, go on and you can wear, of course, there's a point where you wear people down. Well, this was somebody that, in fact, I'm not going to call his name, but as somebody who probably a good number of you know who he is, he's a man's with the Lord now. But the introduction was going on and on, and then the man introducing the speaker said, "And then one more thing I want to share with you. This was in 1991, and it'll be important or noteworthy why in just a second." He said, "This man, this great Christian leader who is about to speak to you today, has just announced that he is giving his, I think, you know, I forget exactly how it was said, his pension, his retirement plan. He was donating to evangelistic efforts in Russia that's newly opened up to the gospel." I'm impressed. I don't know that I have the heart or the wealth to do it. I probably don't have the heart to do it. But, you know, as I was saying that, I was sitting there thinking, wow, that's impressive. That is impressive. At the same time, in the back of my mind, kind of tapping me on the back of the head, in my conscience, I thought, did that man just get his reward? I hope not. I hope he just didn't get his reward. with the big announcement, the trumpet blast. Because Jesus says, no, quietly, unobtrusively give your gift. Forget about yourself so that others can be blessed. Praying. What about that? I mean, isn't it amazing? Vanity can stick to us even when we're praying. You know, he says, think about those people who love to be called on to pray at the beginning of the Sunday school class, who love to be called on in the prayer meeting. And, you know, this is one of those things that if I point this way, it really is true that these three fingers are pointing back at the preacher. Because this one really gets preachers, because we're called on to pray all the time. I mean, why let an amateur pray when you can have a professional? Oh, you know, the Bible study, the worship service, you know, Grant and I had both laughed about, you know, being, once we were ordained, you know, we became sort of like, in our extended families, the family priest, you know, so that in any reunion, setting, holiday gathering, who's going to be called on to pray? But the professional. And we don't mind. We don't mind. But Jesus says, now watch out. There's a danger there. The danger is that you pray more in public than you do in private. That you pray with more frequency, with more fervency, with more heart and passion and eloquence in a public setting than you do when nobody else is watching, when there's no audience but your Father in heaven. And isn't it a striking thing that Jesus says about that? Praying in a public setting, there is a danger that you receive your reward right then. Amen, paid in full. That's not how we want prayer to work, is it? It's not at all how we want prayer to work. He says, no, forget about the other people who are around you and their opinion of you, their esteem. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And of course, Jesus is not forbidding us to, you know, we haven't sinned by praying together in public here. But Jesus is saying, watch out. Don't have the heart of the hypocrite who's in it just so people can say, boy, I love it when he gets up to pray. That man will pray it up. And if he would just shorten it a little bit, he'd be really, really good. He says, watch out, the danger of praying. And he mentions fasting as well. You know, the Old Testament and New Testament both talk about fasting as an act of worship and humiliation before God. What is it? Well, it's a deliberate, focused act of self-denial for the purpose of seeking the Lord's face. It's an act of humiliation, an act of devotion. And I think it's very, very skillful here of Jesus to use that as an example, because if fasting is whether it's for a day or an extended period of time, if it's an act of devotion and humiliation, Jesus is saying, yeah, don't be like the people who make it obvious that they're fasting so that they can be exalted, so that their God of approval and esteem of other people at their devotion and piety and religious performance is noted and made obvious to other people. They even went as far, as you see, it must have been a common thing in Jesus' day to see people walking down the street and they woke up and they still had bad hair. You know, they hadn't bothered to tease the hair up right, and they, you know, somehow made it obvious. Well, they wouldn't, you know, put the cosmetics on. They would make it obvious that they were suffering for Jesus. They were suffering for the Lord. They made it very obvious. And they wore clothes of repentance and mourning. And it was pretty obvious to everybody. Oh, God's fasting. What, didn't he fast last week too? I couldn't do that. That's pretty impressive. My office is right next to the vending machine. I mean, I couldn't fast. Look, he says, take stock of this fasting, anoint your head with oil, wash your face. Don't be the person who receives the reward instantly, paid in full. I mean, we can, maybe not with fasting, but we can come up with all kinds of ways to kind of sigh and make it obvious that we are suffering, we are committed, we're devoted. You know, and now I was thinking about this, even things like blogging and Facebook and Twitter are just open invitations to this kind of thing, where you can in 140 characters or less let people all around the world know what you're doing for Jesus today. Make it obvious what you're giving, what you're sacrificing, what you're suffering. We can do it in all kinds of ways. I was thinking about we can exalt ourselves, make it obvious who we are and what we're doing, whether it comes by how dressed up we decide to be on Sunday or how dressed down we decide to be on Sunday. Carrying a Bible to church can become one of these things where it's kind of a mark. You know, if it becomes a mark, you got to have a really big, heavy one, and lots of stuff. You know, sitting down. It may have been like the bulletin from September of 2009 that, you know, but it looks like a bookmark. It looks like, you know, well, I'm just marking that, you know, passage in Obadiah that I have trouble finding, but I like to do my quiet times there. You know, I mean, there are all kinds of things we can do. The list is unending of outward things that, again, are not evil things in and of themselves. Bring your Bible to church, great. Mark it up, great. Fast. Serve the Lord. Give. Be devoted to Him. Jesus says, watch out. The danger is that you seek the reward of other people saying, he's really committed. She is a true servant of God. But he says, no, he says, just go about your life. Act normally. Cancel the show. Now, I said I wanted to get to the fix and the remedy. Here's the fix. Realize who's really watching. Verse 16 says, you know, it's if you realize that your father who is in secret, it says that in verse 18, then, you know, this matter of needing to look gloomy and disfiguring your face that you're fasting may be seen by others. He says, no, realize you live under the eye of the Father, your Father, he calls him, your Father who sees in secret, who sees what no one else sees. Realize this God, when you pray, you're not filling him in on something he doesn't know. He already knows what you need before you ask him, he says in verse 8. God doesn't require attention getting devices. You know, the many words, the big show. He says, realize you live under the eye of your Father who sees. Let's shift passages for just a moment. You don't have to turn there, because I think this is familiar to you. Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable. It says, you know, the last day is going to be like a shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. And so he divides them, and he turns to the sheep, and he says, what does the shepherd say to them? He says, oh, you've done well. Blessed are you. Welcome. You're welcome into my Father's kingdom because you, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked. You gave me clothes. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came to me. You ministered to me. And I love what the sheep say. You remember what they say? It exhibits this very thing Jesus is talking about. They say, I don't remember doing that. When did we see you in that condition? When did we see you hungry and naked and in prison and sick? I don't remember. And it was, Jesus says, isn't it obvious? You did it to the least of my brethren. You did it to me. And they're surprised. They're two surprised groups on that day. The sheep are surprised. They're like, really? We did that? I don't remember. You know, and he turns to the goats, and he has that message of curse to them, and they go, hey, wait a minute. When did we see you in that condition? If we'd have seen you, we would have been there with those kind of people. We would have when did we see you? You know, they're almost putting the shepherd in the witness stand. When did we see you do this? Tell us. And he says, oh, I'll tell you. You didn't do it to the least of my brethren. You didn't do it for me. When Christians give and pray and serve and fast because they love their Father, because they trust their Father's care, because they long to submit to their Father in soul and body, there is a reward. The question is, what reward do you want more than anything else? Whom are you trying to please by your religious practices? The place to start, then, Jesus is saying, is practice your piety first and foremost in the secret intimacy of the Lord's presence. I asked the question about prayer. Where do you pray more? Do you pray in your Sunday school class, in front of a group, in a meeting? Do you pray more at the table with your family? Do you pray more there than you pray in your heart, in time with the Lord, when you're in the car by yourself, when there's nobody else around? Jesus says, let the public prayer simply be the overflow and the outgrowth of the real life of prayer secretly. Genuine godliness, unaffected holiness, unfeigned piety, those are beautiful, pure, clean, attractive things. And Jesus says, don't tarnish them with some kind of sham, with some kind of substitute, because the heart of the gospel is this: it's God with whom we have to do. And this God has sent His Son to die for our sins. The only way we get to be right with God is on the basis of what He did for us, who He is, not who we are and what we've done. Because that's the mistake of the hypocrite who puts his eggs in the basket of, this is what it means to be a religious person. I'm going to perform up to standard. I'm going to give and I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. And Jesus is saying, you realize you can't get God on your side more. In fact, you may get God on your side less and less by the way you do that. Paul says in Philippians 3:9, I want to be found in Him that is in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. It's good to have self-discipline, spiritual disciplines in your life. It's no great credit just to say, well, I don't ever plan to pray because I don't want to be like one of those hypocrites. Well, you'll be a prayerless, semi-non-hypocrite. Congratulations, you have your reward. The opposite of legalism is not spontaneity. The opposite of faith is not discipline. Spontaneity even itself may be legalistic, and discipline may itself be an act of obedient faith. Jesus says, where is your heart? Who are you seeking to please? Are you seeking to please men? Are you seeking to please your Father in heaven? God help us. Let's pray. As we come to you in prayer now, we want to come to you, Father, in all sincerity. We bless you that you took our sin so that we could become your righteousness, and that this happens not by us doing a few righteous works here and there, disciplined praying or regular giving or any other thing. But that you save us by your grace. You save us through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray that we might live the life of disciples of Christ with a simple, gospel-driven discipline. You say, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Give. You call upon us to fast and humble ourselves before you in so many ways. Let us end the performance and have the root and reality of the matter in our lives. Help us see ourselves very clearly and be quick to repent and slow to excuse and defend ourselves, that you might be glorified in us. You are wonderful, loving, giving, helping Heavenly Father in heaven. Give us this help that we need now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.